You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. It's Friday, and this week, commentator Gary Borders looks back at the golden era of wrestling and the life and career of Bruno Sammartino.
Bruno Sammartino died several weeks ago. He's not exactly a household name anymore, though his death did merit a story in the New York Times. Sammartino died at 82 in Pittsburgh on April 18th. His name was well known in our household in the 1960s. Bruno was heavyweight champion of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation for 11 years in the 1960s and 70s, a record since unmatched. My maternal grandparents were avid wrestling fans. We spent many Sunday afternoons watching matches on their color television, which was a novelty among the middle class 50 years ago. I didn't own a color television until attending graduate school in the early 1980s. The quickest way to raise my French-Canadian grandmother's ire as we sat in the living room in Hopkinton, New Hampshire, was to intimate that wrestling was fake. Hoo boy! She would stretch her 4-foot-10-inch frame to maximum height and wag a finger in your face. Wrestling is not fake, she would aver in a French accent that never faded, despite many decades living in New England. We would sit down to watch Bruno Sammartino face off against wrestling's villains, names like Gorilla Monsoon and Chief Big Heart, my diminutive Grammy hollering at the television. She yelled at the TV a lot, whether it was wrestling, a Red Sox game, or the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, my taciturn grandfather sat in his chair, puffing on his pipe. Gorgeous George was another famous wrestling character, so named for his golden locks. He was about 15 years older than Bruno, and considerably outmatched when they finally met. The mantle was passed, as Bruno defeated Gorgeous George in one of the latter's final matches. Bruno insisted he never took a dive, a claim that stretches one's credibility, given the circus sideshow that pro wrestling became in the 1970s. It was a sweaty, choreographic exhibition replete with fake blood and imaginary feuds. Sammartino, according to the Times piece, in real life was soft-spoken and loved the opera, especially Verdi. He was under 6 feet tall and rippled with muscle with, as the Times put it, bulging pectorals and biceps and a big head. Bruno made as much as $150,000 a year. While he didn't dispute pro matches were fixed, he claimed his many injuries were proof of his own forthrightness. In 1961, he body slammed Chick Garibaldi to the canvas. Garibaldi never got up, dead of what was later ruled a heart attack, which left Bruno deeply remorseful. Bruno was born in central Italy in 1935. His family fled the invading Nazis, hiding in the mountains for months, and eventually immigrated to Pittsburgh after the war with his mother and surviving siblings. His father had already fled in 1939 to seek work in America. Bruno was a stereotypical class weakling, and he worked hard to gain strength and agility. Grammy Burke never lost her love for wrestling or the Red Sox. Our family moved to Texas in 1968, and I left wrestling behind. Years ago, I attended a traveling wrestling show in Nacogdoches out of curiosity. It was laughably fake, with clumsy body slams and fake punches. The sweat was real, as were the howls of the crowd who had clear favorites. I had no idea who any of these yahoos were, with their bulging pecs and Billy Joe Cyrus haircuts. I didn't stay long. Our president is a member of the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame. In 2007, President Trump wrestled WWE chief Vince McMahon, pinning him down and shaving his head. Then Stone Cold Steve Austin downed Trump with a stunner punch. As one writer put it, the Trump presidency is right out of a WWE script. Lucky for Trump that Bruno Sammartino wasn't available. I'm betting he could have pinned the president in under 10 seconds.
Commentator Gary Borders is a longtime writer and photographer in East Texas. You can reach him at GaryBorders.com.